For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Every Christian must live in the world, but must try not to be contaminated by the world. All around us, we see Christians who are trying to be part of the world, often with the belief that they can influence others toward Christ by being worldly in their own lives. Even many churches today are trying to be worldly, thinking that they can attract the unsaved. In this sermon, Dr. J. Harold Smith argues that Christians need to be different. They need to be separate from the world. We need to be unlike the world. If we are worldly in our behavior, in our language, in our thinking, we will not only lose our ability to influence others, but our lives will offer no evidence that we are saved. Now here is Dr. J. Harold Smith with the sermon, Separation from the World.
Hi, dear neighbor. I want to greet all of our many precious friends in that name that's above every name, Christ Jesus, our Lord. For some, this has been a glad day. For others, it's been a sad day. But for all of us, it's been God's day, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. The subject of my message for this hour is separation from the world. And the scripture is found in John chapter 17 and verse 16, where our Lord, in that wonderful prayer, no other prayer has ever been uttered like the prayer that is uttered in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And in that prayer, our Lord said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." I believe with all of my heart and soul that the greatest need on the part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to come to that place where we will be separated from the world. We are like a ship. If the world and if the water gets into the ship, it goes down. And if the world gets into a saint of God, they lose their testimony. They lose their influence. They lose their power. They lose their ability to win souls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I had rather die than to lose my testimony. I had rather die than to lose my influence just with my family. I'd rather die than to ever lose my ability to win souls to Christ. I'd rather die than to ever lose the power that God gives us in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I cannot have those things and have the world in my heart and in my life. You know, it's sad today, but it's getting more and more difficult to find the difference between a church member and a worldling, or a person that's lost. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that the sinners can say, when you begin to witness to them, "Well, I live as good as Mr. So-and-so, and he's a deacon up there in the Baptist church, or a steward over in the Methodist church, or an elder up there in the Presbyterian church, and I live as good as he lives. He does things that I don't do. He bets on the automobile races, the horse races. He plays the lottery. He gambles on the lottery. I tell you, he curses, takes God's name in vain. I mean, he's untrue to his wife, and yet he's a church member and a deacon and a leader in that church. And I don't even profess to be a follower of the Lord. And preacher, I'm true to my wife. I'm true to my family. And I don't curse. I don't take God's name in vain." What are you going to say to that fella? What are you going to say to him? I mean, friends, with all of my heart and with all of my soul, if ever there has been an hour when we need to stop and think, what is the difference between me and a sinner? What is the difference? Is it only the fact that I'm a church member? Is that the only difference? What is the difference in my walk and a sinner's walk? What is the difference in my talk and a sinner's talk? What is the difference in the places I go and the sinner goes? He goes to the X-rated movies. I go to the X-rated movies. He goes, brother, and bets on the ball games, and I bet on him. How in the world can I influence that man to ever tell me, for me to ever tell him that man is on his way to hell and that without Jesus Christ he's going to die and be damned forever? How can I tell him? I can't do it. I just lose my influence. I lose my ability to witness for God. I lose my testimony in regard to that sinner. I believe that every Christian ought to come out from the world and be separate. I believe we ought to be different. Do you remember in the days of Moses and the children of Israel in Egypt, there was a difference in Goshen and in Egypt? When there was darkness in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. When there were lice in Egypt, there was not an insect in Goshen. When the whole atmosphere swarmed with flies in Egypt, there was not one single fly over in Goshen. And when death rained by lightning and thunder and hail, there was not even a drop of rain that fell in Goshen. There was a difference. There was a difference. On the night of the Passover, there was a difference between those Egyptians that didn't have the blood on their doorpost of that lamb and those it did have in Goshen, and the Israelites that had the blood on their doorpost. There was a difference between the people, the eight souls that were in the ark, and those, all the whole human family that was on the outside of the ark. When those flood waters came, it made a difference. It really made a difference whether you were on the inside or the outside of the ark. And one of these days, it's going to make the difference, all of the difference between heaven and hell, as to whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. If you're in Him, you're redeemed and saved. But if you're out of Jesus Christ, you're lost. And we have so many people today that say, "Preacher, I'm going to live in the world, and I'm going to live in the church at the same time." And we call these church members worldly church members. That's like calling a sinner a godly sinner. How in the world can you identify a worldly Christian? All the time in the world, living for the devil. And yet I tell you, saying that they are a child of God, I do not believe it. The Bible declares, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters." But if you do not come out from the world, then what? The Bible says that if the love of the world is in you, the love of God is not there. Now that makes it pretty plain. When God says, if you love the world, the love of God is not in you. I can just testify that when the Lord saved my soul on September the 4th, 1932, He took out of my heart all the desire for smoking. He took out of my heart all the desire for drinking wine. He took out of my heart all the desire to go to dances. He took out of my heart all the desire to gamble. He took out of my heart all my desire. Took it out immediately. In one split second, it was there. The next moment, it wasn't there. All of my desire to take God's name in vain, to gamble on this or that or the other, God made me a new creature in a split second. And the things of the world that I once loved and the things of the Word of God that I hated was immediately changed. What is the difference? What is the difference between you and a worldling? So as I look here in the Word of God, I find that God really teaches in His Word separation. So we see the worldly church members, are they saved or lost? The Bible says if the love of the world is in you, then the love of God is not there. Does that mean you're saved or lost? If the Lord says if you're born again, you'll not love the things of this world and you still love them, does that mean that you're not saved? I believe it does. I really do believe that if you are out in the world and your one desire is the pleasures of this world, I firmly believe that you're lost. If you love the golf course on the Lord's Day better than you do the church, I'm convinced that you're a lost man. If you love the lake, go out to ski and to fish on the Lord's Day more than you love your church, I'm convinced that you're lost. Because when you get Jesus Christ in your heart, the things of this world grow strangely dim. I am convinced that if the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon this earth, and He would not be walking around with a package of cigarettes in His pocket. I'm convinced that if the Lord was here, He would not have, brother, His jaw stuck out with a gob of tobacco and tobacco juice. I'm convinced if the Lord was here today, you would not find Him down at the ball game betting on that baseball game. I'm convinced that if the Lord was here today, you wouldn't find Him at a fight where two men are fighting in that ring and cursing. You wouldn't find the Lord in that place. I've always said, Lord, don't let me go any place you wouldn't go. Don't let me think anything that you wouldn't think. Don't let me say anything that you wouldn't say. Lord, please help me to always be the servant that you want me to be. And God, help me never, 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 Lord, to get out of your will and get into the world and have you to rob me and take away from me the ability to win souls to Jesus Christ. One of my deacons, one of the finest men that I ever knew in my life, when I was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, one of my deacons bowed at the altar and said to a sinner, are you saved? And the sinner looked back, and when he looked back, he saw that package of cigarettes in my deacon's shirt pocket. And he said, let me ask you, are you saved? And the deacon said, I sure am. He said, then why do you have that package of cigarettes there in your pocket? And the deacon was so convicted, and he said, son, I lay them on the altar, and I promise you and I promise God I'll never smoke another one. How can you talk to a man blowing cigarette smoke into his face about his soul? How can you do it with your breath smelling of alcohol? You just can't do it. Has God taken that six-pack of beer out of your refrigerator? Has God taken that desire for liquor out of your heart? Or do you still visit the liquor stores and the beer joints and the honky-tonks and the roadhouses and the nightclubs? Do you still have the things of this world having the priority in your life? God says, if it's so, then they are of the world and not of God. So I ask you, what are you going to do about your love for the world? Will you turn to God or will you turn away from him? Will you accept what the Bible says or what the Bible doesn't say? It isn't what J. Harold Smith may say or what I may think, but it's what God says about the matter. I ask you, will you at this very moment say to God, God, I want you to know that I'm going to give up the world and the things of the world. Let me tell you, if you will put the word of God in your heart, the world will go out. The word of God and the world cannot fraternize. They cannot stay in the same heart. One of the two has got to go out. So which will it be for you, the word of God or the world? I know that there are hundreds and hundreds of people that tell me, preacher, I can enjoy the things of the world and enjoy the things of God. I don't believe that that's true. I do not believe that you can have the nature of God and have the love and the passion of the world in your heart at the same time. So Jesus says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. To those, I tell you, that are saved, they are saved by faith, and there's a great gulf between where you are and where the sinner is. And the Bible says that no man can pass over that gulf unless he comes by the bridge, which is called Jesus Christ. But if you'll come by that way, then you can find peace and joy. A king can make a knight, he can make a duke, he can make a lord, but there's not a king on this earth or all the kings on this earth that can ever make a Christian. Nor can any church or any manufacturing company or any politician or any pope or any preacher or any parent ever make a Christian. The only way you can ever become a Christian is by a new birth, by the birth of the Son of God in your heart, by being washed in his precious blood and be begotten by the Spirit of God. I want to ask you, do you know that you are not of the world? Do you know that you are of God? Do you realize and are you conscious of the fact that you are different from maybe your own brother or sister or maybe your father or your mother? Are you different from some other person that's in your church? I am convinced that if all of our preachers would lay their all on the altar, all of them get out of the world and stand up for God, we could have the greatest revival that this nation has ever had. We could see God do great things, but his servants, many of his servants, are tangled up in the world and the affairs of this world. I know one preacher that was obsessed with reading these evil, ungodly books of pornography. He was making a tremendous salary in his church. His salary was over $75,000 a year. He had many wonderful benefits and perks on the side. His total salary amounted to over $120,000 a year, or $10,000 a month, and he got hooked on books of pornography. His power left him. His deacons learned about it. His church members learned about it, and they fired him. I want to tell you, friends, the world is powerful, but not as powerful as God Almighty. And if you just say, Lord, I want to come out of the world, I want you to take me out of the world, then God would do it. One of these days, you're going to be sorry. You're really going to be sorry that without your faith in God as your Savior, as your shepherd, and as your sovereign, that you did not let him have full command and full sway over all that you are, over all that you ever hope to be. I believe if you just turn your life over to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sick and tired of being a hypocrite. I'm sick and tired of being plastic. I'm sick and tired of not knowing whether I'm saved or not. Lord, I'm sick and tired of the way I'm living. I walk down the aisle. I rededicate my life. I get off of my knees. I go back in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm in the same position that I was before. And Lord, I'm tired of this kind of up and down, in and out, off and on religion. And I want Jesus in my heart. I want him to be real. And I want to be what I am. I want people to know and see in me that I really love God and I'm separated from the world. And I'm not a part of the world. I believe with all of my heart, if that could happen to you, a joy, a victory, a peace would come into your heart like you've never had. You will never know what the peace of God is until you come to the Prince of Peace. You will never know what the joy of the Lord is until you come to that hour when you're willing to surrender your all. I'll guarantee you, everything that you ever give up for Jesus, everything that you ever give up for him, will bring greater joy than that thing that you gave up. So as we look here in the Word of God, then we find that we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through faith. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we live our lives for Christ. If we live for him, we die for him. If we live without him, we die without him. One of these days, death is going to knock on your door. How have you lived? Will you have a reward in heaven or have nothing? When you come down to that hour when you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and look him in the face and give an answer for all that you ever did on this earth, will you be ashamed of the way that you've lived? Will you be happy for the way that you've lived? I've lived for the Lord. All of these many years since September the 4th, 1932, if I'd have been in the Army or a Marine, I would have already had at least two 30-year service periods and be on my third one. But I'm not thinking about retiring. I'm not thinking about quitting. I just want to go on living a separated, consecrated, dedicated life to Jesus so that I can win others to a saving knowledge of my wonderful Lord. Let me tell you, in closing, I want to just tell you something. You will never regret anything that you ever give up for Jesus, and Jesus will never ask you to give up anything that is good for your health, good for your soul, good for your mind. But as long as you work and walk in the world, you're going to find that the world will mistreat you. The devil will mistreat you, and you'll have a hard and a difficult time. If our Lord says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And if our Lord had to do with sinners, ate with them, but he didn't participate with them in their sins, then I want to ask you, how do you hope? And what can you hope to gain? And what sort of a reward will you have when you stand before God if you spent your whole lifetime compromising with the world and the things of this world? I'd rather be a dead dog in the street, run over by a bulldozer, than to face God one of these days and have him to say, I saved you, called you out of the world, then you backslid, went back into the world. And what has the world had to offer you? Nothing. Nothing but trouble. Nothing but sorrow. Nothing but heartache. And there you stand before God with all of your reward taken away, with nothing left but the shuck. All of the grain is gone. And God said, I'd like to reward you. I'd like to give you my peace and joy and victory. I'd like to give you an eternal reward. There stands your loved ones. What a shame it will be when they hear you condemned by the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. One of these days, we're going to have a grand homecoming in the sky. The Lord promises it. All of the family of God will gather together around the throne of God. The Bible declares that we shall be married. We shall sit down to a great marriage supper. And then the Bible declares that we will stand before the Bema and be rewarded and judged for everything that we've ever done in the flesh, good and bad. And I ask you, if you were to stand there today, would what you have done that's bad outweigh that is done that's good? Remember, we are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved by what we do. We are not saved by our good works. We are not saved by what we do for the Lord, but we are rewarded. And one of these days, you're going to stand in His presence. Will you be ashamed? Will you? How many of you would like to die out at Las Vegas in one of those casinos? How many of you would like to die at a dog race or a horse race or an automobile race on Sunday? How would you like to die? How would you like to die at that football game or baseball game on the Lord's Day, having passed up the church to go to that worldly thing? How would you like to die there and face God? You wouldn't want it. My sweet mother died one Sunday night attending the house of God. I've never been ashamed. I've never been ashamed to tell you where my sweet, sweet mother went into the presence of God, right out of the church, right out of the church pew, right into heaven. And I've never been ashamed of it. How will you die? Our Father, I pray that if those have listened to us in this telecast are worldly, and God, they live in the world part of the time, and then they want to live for you part of the time. And Lord, if they are married, they wouldn't live with their wife if she was just unfaithful one day a month. They wouldn't live with their husband if he's just unfaithful 1 hour a year. And yet, Lord, we expect you to love us. We expect you to give us all of our blessings, and we're unfaithful 2/3, 3/4 of the time of our life. So bring us out from the world and separate us and use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed the sermon today and that you've been persuaded to be unique and different as a Christian. Being Christ-like is not being worldly, and every Christian who has been born again will have a different set of desires and interests than the world has. If our desires are still worldly and our interests have little to do with God and His work, then we should question whether we are really Christians. If you would like to know more about this work, go to the web address on your screen. This is Don Smith, and again, I want to thank you for watching this video today, and may the Lord bless you in every area of your life.